to the fourth chapter, verse number 4 through verse number 7. If you went to the doctor today for what we're going to talk about, he wouldn't be able to help you anyway. But if he could, and he would try, he would give you a prescription. And then you'd have to go to the pharmacist and get it filled, and it would cost you dearly. But what I want to give you today is a prescription for peace. I want to give you a prescription for peace. Amen. You think that'll work? Amen. Praise God. Anybody troubled? Let me give you a prescription for peace. Anybody worried? Let me give you a prescription for peace. Anybody anxious today? Let me give you a prescription for peace. Here's one. Anybody stressed today? Isn't that the watchword of the day? So much stress. I'm so stressed. Everywhere I go, I hear about people being stressed. Amen. Some of you look stressed. I'm right here. Yeah, you're smiling. Thank you. All right. But I want to give you a prescription today for peace. It will work. It will work. Amen. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 18. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful, that is, don't worry for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Amen. A prescription for peace. Amen. I promise if you will follow the directions, you will have peace. Amen. If you came troubled, if you are living under stress, if you will follow what I'm going to preach to you today, you will have peace. Amen. No doubt about it. You will have peace. This will work for everybody. You know, they call it practice in medicine. Have you ever taken a prescription that didn't work? Made you feel worse than when you started? Well, this one won't do that. This one will cure what ails you if you'll follow it. Because it's a prescription from God Himself and from His Word. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. Amen. The first thing you need to have is to have an attitude of gratitude. In other words, just be happy. Amen. I read a book some years ago. When I first saw it, I was very skeptical. But the title said, Happiness is a Choice. And you know what? When I got through reading that, I believed it. You and I decide how happy we're going to be. Let me say that again. You and I decide how happy we are going to be. Your neighbor doesn't decide that. Your family does not decide that. Your husband or your wife does not decide that. Your pastor does not decide that. Not one person decides how happy you're going to be beside yourself. You're the one that decides, I'm going to be happy today, or I'm going to be depressed and discouraged today. Amen. Somebody said, he made me mad. No, he didn't. You made a decision to get mad. Amen. Well, he said something that hurt my feelings. Well, maybe he did, but it was you that decided to take it. Was it true? I said, was it true? If it was true, then you might have something to be a little upset about. Change what needs changing. But if it wasn't true, what difference does it make? Amen. We decide how happy we're going to be. Amen. Brother Hart's almost always happy. You hardly ever see him when he's not happy. Because he decides, I'm going to be happy. Amen. And there's some other folks, we'll not mention any names. Amen. That decide they're not going to be happy. Amen. Sister Hart used to sing that song, Don't Nobody Love Me and Don't You Dare Try. Amen. We used to sing, remember when we were in school, we used to sing, Nobody Loves Me, Everybody Hates Me, Think I'll Eat Some Worms. Amen. Some people live life with that attitude. They get up in the morning, nobody loves me. I'm going to be sad all day. I'm going to be mad all day. I'm going to be discouraged all day. Yeah. Amen. Hey, the Bible said, and I'm reading the word of the Lord here. This is not Johnny Grissom. This, by the way, was written from a prison cell. Yeah. Exactly. Huh? What was he in there for? Wasn't murder. He was in there for preaching the word of God. Nothing more, nothing less than sharing the gospel with the world. If anybody should have been discouraged, Paul could have been discouraged. But you know what the word is, the key word to all of Philippians? He says it over and over again, rejoice! And if an apostle of God could write that from a prison cell, how much more ought the church of God be rejoicing today and have something to be happy about? So Paul says, rejoice. Now you got to get this. He said, rejoice in the Lord. Now you can't always rejoice in circumstances. I know that. Bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen to all of us. Difficulties are going to rise in all of our lives. You're going to have some problems. Some mornings the car's not going to start. The tire's going to be flat. Your bank account's going to go down. You're going to have some bills due. The refrigerator's going to go out. The dog's going to get sick. Your kids are going to get sick. You're going to get sick. You're going to have problems in life. But let me tell you how to be happy. Rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I've got something to be excited about. I've got something to shout about. Amen. You see, first of all, if you want peace, you just got to make up your mind you're going to be happy. Amen. Life is not fair. And life is not always good. But God is. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was good yesterday. He's good today. He'll be good tomorrow. He was God yesterday. He's God today. He'll be God tomorrow. He's for you yesterday. He's for you today. He's for you tomorrow. He was with you yesterday. He is with you today. He'll be with you tomorrow. Hey, folks. We've got something to be happy about. Amen. Hallelujah. That all by itself ought to give you a lot of peace. Amen. Happy people don't have near as much trouble, or at least it doesn't affect them nearly as much as unhappy people. Amen. Hallelujah. And then the next thing, be gentle. I like the term gentleman. I think that's a good term. Amen. The world doesn't like that very much anymore, but I think it's a good term. I think Christian ought to be gentlemen. Amen. We're living in an age when everything, they try to tear down everything that's good. Today, it's popular to be rude. It's popular to be insulting. Don't say good things about people. Try to tear them down. Let me tell you where that spirit comes from. It comes right out of hell. God is a gentleman God. God builds things. God creates things. God makes things. God does not destroy things. God does not tear things down. He always builds up. Amen. And so should we. So he said, let your moderation be known to all men. The word moderation here, he's talking about not given to extremes. Christians ought to be consistent, and not consistently sad, but consistently happy. Amen. Have you ever noticed some people are like roller coasters? Woo, they're up today. Woo, they're down tomorrow. Woo, they're up the next day. Amen. Moderation is not given to extremes. Amen. They're the same every day. They're always the same. They always have a smile. They always have a good word. They always have an encouragement. Amen. They always have hope. They always have faith. They're consistent. Where do you get that? You get it from God. Amen. When you have Jesus in your life and he's in control and you understand that, you can always be the same. Amen. Praise God. When you understand it's not about me, it's all about him, then you can just be good to everybody. Amen. You can be the same to everybody. Amen. You don't have favorites. Did I say that? God doesn't have favorites. Hello? God doesn't, well, he does have grandkids. He thinks they're all grand. Amen. But, you know, everybody is his favorite. Amen. And we don't need to have favorites, people. Amen. Everybody's his favorite. Everybody ought to be your favorite. I'm not saying that there's some people have qualities that you like. And they have things and interests that are the same as your interest. And they're easy to be with. That's fine. That's well. And that's good. Amen. But we need to look at everybody in the whole body of Christ as brothers and sisters. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And understand that's just treat everybody consistently good. I said treat everybody consistently good. I'm still preaching. This is not as popular as it was a minute ago, but I'm still preaching. Some of you are not smiling now, but I'm still preaching. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's treat everybody the same. Amen. God doesn't have favorites, and neither should we treat people like that. Love everybody. We used to sing that. I don't know why we lost that song somewhere in our history, but we used to sing a song that said, makes me love everybody. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so we moderation is just simply being consistent, being the same, not given to extremes. How can you do that? He said, because the Lord is at hand. That is, he's right there with you. He's right beside you. Amen. He's as close as the mention of his name. He's the air that you breathe. He's taken every step that you take. He's with you every waking moment of the day and every sleeping moment of the night. He's always with you. The Lord is at hand. And if God's at hand, then we can be consistent. And we can be consistently good. And we can be consistently positive. And we can be consistently happy. Amen. Hallelujah. I've told the story, but let me tell it again. It bears repeating. The old farmer that was walking down the road, and he was carrying a heavy bag of corn on his back. And the guy stops and says, can I give you a ride? He said, sure, I'd love to have a ride. So he gets in, and he takes that heavy bag of corn, and he sets it on his lap. And the guy says, you can toss that corn back in the back of the wagon here. And the guy said, oh, no. He said, I wouldn't put this old burden on the horse, too. He's already carrying it. Amen. And some of us, you know, that's the way we live our lives. The burden, the Bible says, cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. But we fail to do that, don't we? Lord, let me worry about this for a while. Why? Amen. Let me hold on to this for a little while. Let me worry about it. Amen. Let's see how much heartache I get out of this. Let's see how many tears I can squeeze out of it. Why? Why? Amen. 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 The Bible said, cast your cares on Him. He said, be careful for nothing. Again, the word careful is full of care. He doesn't want His people to be full of care. Amen. He doesn't want His people to be careless in the sense that, well, we could care less. But He wants His people to understand we have confidence in God. If God be for us, who can be against us? God's going to take care of everything. Why worry? Amen. I can't work things out by worrying. Have you ever solved a problem by worrying about it? Did anything ever get better because you worried about it? You just got ulcers and just made you feel bad, made you discouraged, and made you feel down and sad. No, it didn't help you a bit. Amen. Praise God. That's the world's way of solving problems, and it doesn't solve anything. But it makes the doctors rich, and it helps the pharmaceutical companies. Amen. But it's not for Christians. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, be careful for nothing, or don't worry about anything. That's what He's trying to say. That's the positive sense. Don't worry about anything. And here's the other side of it. But in everything, everybody say everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. In other words, He's saying, instead of worrying, pray. And with your prayer, give thanks. Amen. You see, thanksgiving adds faith to prayer. And then without thanksgiving, sometimes prayer is just a Pentecostal gripe session. Amen. Praise the Lord. And God can handle that, by the way. If that's what you need to do to get it out of your system, do it. He can handle it. He's big enough. Amen. And He'll forgive us. He has so often. Praise the Lord. But he's trying to say it. Instead of worrying about it, pray about it. Anybody ever tried that? Has it ever worked for you? Amen. Then has it ever failed you? Then why don't we try it again? Instead of worrying, why don't we try praying? If it worked one time, it'll work again. And if it's the ultimate solution, then why try worrying first? Amen. This is very radical, isn't it? But it's Christian. It's right out of the Bible. Amen. Hallelujah. So, hey, just go ahead and let's try prayer. Amen. Amen. What is the first rule of prayer? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Not my will, thy will. Not my kingdom, your kingdom. You see, one of the things that causes us so much worry is because we've got our own little kingdom set up. And our own little kingdom gets all topsy-turvy. And we get all worried and stressed and anxious because things are not going well in our world. Amen. And we want to work it out our way. And there are some people that even go so far as to try to make God do it their way. That's what they think faith is. Faith is talking God into doing what I want Him to do. Huh? And He's bound by His word. If I can find any verse somewhere that I can twist enough to make it say what I want it to say, God's got to do it. Who are you deceiving? What kind of God are you serving? Our God is a sovereign God. Amen. And He doesn't fit my kingdom. He put me in His kingdom. Hallelujah. And I got to find my place in His kingdom. And He taught us to pray right away. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's the first order of prayer. Amen. That's the first thing you need to pray. That's where you get your peace from. Hello? Instead of trying to bend God to your will, that's where you get your peace from. Instead of trying to get God and convince God to do that you're right, He's got to do things your way. Why don't you try it His way? Amen. And let Him give you peace. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. So when you pray, be assured that God loves you. Be sure that God knows what He's doing. and be assured that God has the power to do whatever needs to be done. Amen. And so prayer works. Hallelujah. And then the Bible said, let your request be known to God. Isn't it interesting how we'll tell everybody else first? But most of the time when we tell somebody else what we really want, sympathy. Huh? Now you're smiling through your pain. Amen. We want people to feel sorry for us. Amen. Instead of going to the God that has a solution for us. Amen. I'm convinced some people don't want their problem solved. That's biblical. Amen. I can prove it. You know, Jesus went to a guy that had been laying in the same spot for 38 years. 38 years. What did he ask him? The most unusual question. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed so you can get up and go get a job and work and support yourself and your family? Huh? Do you want to be healed so that you'll lose all the sympathy people have been heaping on you for 38 years? Woo! Did you know that healing almost got him killed? Huh? It was that man that whenever he brought what came against the council and they said, who healed you? He said, well, it was that Jesus guy did it. He's the one, it's blame him. He's the one that made me take up my bed and walk. It's his fault. And they went to stone him. You see, so, well, I'm getting bogged down here, but it's truth in him. Amen. So let your request be known to God because he can do something about it. Amen. Did you know George Mueller started several orphanages and he never asked for one penny and he never had a fundraiser? He said, it was the will of God for me to start this and God will supply. So every time he needed something, he went to God. He didn't go to the businessmen of the city. He went to God. And you know what? There was always enough food in the orphanage. There was always enough clothes for the children. There was always everything they needed. Every need was supplied because Mueller went to God with his need. And God did not fail him. Amen. Praise God. So the Lord still answers prayer. And I love this part of it. He said, in the peace of God. Everybody say, peace of God. It's not just any peace, but it's the peace of God. Woo, you talk about a peace. The peace of God. And then he qualified. He said, it passes understanding. Anybody know what I'm talking about today? Peace that, well, he knows what he's talking about. He's writing it from a prison cell and he's got peace. He's chained to some Roman guards and he's got peace. Hallelujah. He doesn't know what tomorrow holds, but he's got peace. He doesn't know what sunrise will bring, but he has peace. Hallelujah. I'm talking about peace today, folks. You can have peace. There's a prescription for it, and it'll work. Amen. Let me hasten quickly. I know that our time is up, but I want to get this in. He said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Everybody say true. Honest. Just. Pure. Lovely. Of good report, any virtue, any praise, think on these things. Amen. Praise God. You see, but our mind automatically thinks on the negative. Amen. Everything's negative. If we're not careful, this world will squeeze us into its mold, and it's a negative place to live. Amen. But don't you let it do that. You get your mind on the pure things. You get your minds on praise things. You get your mind on things of good report. You get your mind on lovely things. You get your mind on faithful things. You get your mind on true things and just things and honest things. Amen. Get your mind on the right things. You got to learn how to think, folks, and keep thinking that way. Boy, the devil knows that. He knows how to get your mind so contorted and twisted and messed up. And I've never seen so many people with so many mental problems as we have today. Hello. I mean, we got pills on top of pills, and we've got, what do they call them? diagnoses that never even existed a few years ago. Amen. I think they got a psychiatrist somewhere that just comes up names for diseases. Surely there is one. Amen. People used to just die of old age. Now everybody dies of something with a long, complicated name. Folks, we got a lot, and I'll tell you why. Because people don't think properly. Was it Zig Ziglar, one of those guys said, you got to get rid of stinking thinking. You got to get rid of stinking thinking. You got to get rid of stinking thinking. Amen. The Bible tells us how to think. Hey, we're Christians. Do we really believe this book? Let me ask that again. Do we really believe? Is this good for anybody? Is that a part we're not supposed to pay any attention to? Is it all right for us to go on thinking negative and depressed and discouraged and doubtful and stressful? Should we live like that? Or should we live like the Bible tells us to? Why in the world wouldn't we choose to live like this? Hey, there's a prescription for peace today. Think on these things. Hallelujah. Amen. I got trouble, but Jesus is with me. There's difficulties in my life, but if God be for us, who can be against us? He picked me up when I was down. He'll do it again. He made a way where there seemed no way, and He'll do it again. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. So we think right. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's so vital that we learn how to think the right kinds of things. Amen. And then he said, the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep. Everybody say, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Hearts and minds. Hearts and minds. Amen. Now, that word keep is the word that they use for a sentinel or a guard. He said, if you'll do these things I'm telling you to do. He said, literally, it'll be as if there's a guard standing between the world and your thoughts and between your heart and and the world's ways. I mean, there's something that's going to guard you. There's something that's going to keep you. So when stress and trouble comes, he said, you're going to be protected. Even if you're in a prison cell and the future's uncertain for you, and you know what's going to happen? He said, God can give you a sentinel. He'll give you a guard that'll stand watch over you, and you can do like Peter did when he was facing beheading. He went down, laid down, went to sleep, and the angel had to come wake him up. You talk about peace. Amen. He knew what was going to happen. They'd already beheaded John or James. Now they were coming for Peter. Amen. They said, hey, the crowd liked that. We're going to do it again. Pete, you're next. Threw him in prison. Come down to get him. He's sound asleep. The angel had to wake him up. Said, hey, Peter, wake up, sleepyhead. God sent me to get you out of here. I'm talking about peace that will keep you. Amen. God gives us peace. Let's stand together. Thank you for your time, your attention here today. I'm not through, but I'm going to stop. Amen. Hallelujah. There was a little girl, and she was riding on a train, and she was over there. She was coloring pictures. She was humming a little song. People looked at her and were amazed because outside there was thunder shaking the skies. There were lightnings that were flashing. The rain was slashing down in torrents. And all the adults were worried and concerned and thinking, my, what a storm. Are we going to make it? So finally, somebody said to the little girl, how can you sit there so calm and color your pictures and sit there and hum your little song with all this storm going on? Aren't you worried? She looked up and smiled. She said, oh, no, I'm not worried. She said, my daddy's the engineer. He's driving this thing. Amen. You know what? When you know who the engineer is, when you know who's driving this thing, and he's your daddy, and he loves you, and you know he loves you, and he's going to take care of you, why should you worry, and why should you fret? He's going to take us through, folks. Amen. Let's say this together, casting all your cares upon him, because he cares for you. Amen. Praise God. Why don't we do that this morning? You got some worries? Why don't we give them to Jesus right now? Got some things that you've been concerned about, and they've robbed some of your sleep, and they have caused your brow to crease with worry and fret. You feel stressed and worried, and just don't know what to do. Why don't we give it to Jesus today? Would that be all right?